Last week, we were looking at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and where we left off was verse 7. And we want to continue today with verse 8 through the end of the chapter. So let's just review verse 7, such a powerful, wonderful verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. We have this treasure. Of course, the treasure is Jesus and also his word in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Anything ever happen in our lives powerful, it's the Lord, it's him. He gets all the credit. We're to let our lights so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. And so the power and the excellency of the power is always of God. We are earthen vessels. We gave you the Greek for earthen vessel last week. It means actually baked clay or clay pot. And so that is really who we are in comparison to the wonderful, glorious treasure of God, which dwells within us by his grace and by his mercy. And so we have feet of clay, don't we? And you've heard that expression many times. And it's a true expression because we are an earthen vessel, a clay pot. And as we read the creation story, it talks about how the Lord took the dust of the earth and he made man and woman from the dust of the earth. And so that's part of clay, isn't it? But we're also 70% water. We're supposed to drink like 8 glasses of water today to keep ourselves from dehydrating. And so we've got a lot of water in us, and water and dirt is clay. So that's who we are. And because that's true, the first few words of verse 8 are so very true. We are troubled on every side. Or we can translate troubled there from an NIV translation. We are hard pressed on every side. We are very weak without the Lord. We have experienced sin in our lives. Of course, we were born into sin by that passed on from Adam. And so we are weak clay vessels. And that's why we need the power, the excellency of the power, which is our treasure, Jesus living in us and his powerful word to help us. Because we do have that feet of clay, we are the earthen vessels, and we are in trouble a lot on every side. Now, there is a lie that Satan brings and will bring to you as a Christian that I wanted to begin with on this idea of the trouble. And the lie is this. Man, if you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't have any problems. Man, is that ever a lie, isn't it? I mean, there's guys that are non-believers that are on death row. I think that would say that a little bit of trouble going on there, isn't there? So, you know, the thing is, everybody's going to have trouble. Everybody on the entire planet is going to have trouble and heartache and all those things. The thing is, do we want to suffer as a Christian or just suffer for the sake of suffering and then shuffle off to hell later? There's an idea. No, we don't want to believe that lie from the enemy. The enemy wants to build some kind of Hollywood set and say, man, you can have such fun if you just stay away from God. And what a lie that is, because there's trouble on every side for everybody. You just ask anybody on the entire planet, have you ever not had any trouble? And they'll laugh at you. And so we don't want to believe that lie, but we rather want to see the promise and the blessing in the Christian's trouble. And so that's what we're going to look at today, because the Apostle Paul spends the rest of this chapter bringing out three strong points of how the trouble that Christians suffer, and all of us do, are beneficial and profitable for us and are to the glory of God. And oh my, when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, what a blessing to know that our trouble counted for something instead of meant nothing. I know I've seen a bumper sticker, and you've probably seen it too. Life is hard, and then you die. You know, I mean, isn't that encouraging? Yeah. Life is hard and then you die. Where the Christian can say, life is hard, but then we really begin. Oh, yeah, launched. Right off the catapult into eternity with the Lord. And in the meantime, our trouble working good. For all things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So I want to encourage you with that. Now let's go ahead and take a look at verses 8 and 9 for the first blessing we want to see that has to do with the trouble we face. And this first blessing, I'll just give you that first blessing before we start reading. The Lord is with us in our trouble. Yeah, He walks with us in it. So that rather than being crushed by that trouble, we are comforted through it by the by His divine power, the excellency of His power in this earthen vessel as we turn to Him. Now, if we don't turn to Him in our trouble, then we face the full brunt of whatever trouble it is, and trouble is just trouble. But when we have trouble and we go to the awesome God as deliverer, we experience that blessed togetherness with Him. I think right away of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were cast into a fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. But after they were cast in there, he said to his chamberlains, he said, you know what? We threw three people in that fire, but I see four, and one is like the Son of God. And of course, we know who that is. That's Jesus Christ was walking with them. So that when they came out of that fire with no harm, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. And if you know, if you've been to roast marshmallows at the beach, that the smell of the fire and the wood gets in your clothes. But not for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because Jesus was walking through that trouble with them and bringing deliverance. And so this is what verses 8 and 9 are about, and let's read them. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, or another translation, not crushed. Praise God. Yes, we can have trouble on every side, but we're not crushed. It's not the end. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, perplexed can be also translated confused, puzzling. You're in a puzzling situation, and you begin to puzzle and try to put things together on what's going on here, and you might have a really difficult decision to make, and you don't know what to do, but we want to do like, of course, good King Jehoshaphat did. We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on You. This week, I was talking to a dear sister on the phone that used to come to our church. She lives in Florida now, but she had this really puzzling decision to make. They found some cells in her thyroid that looked a little strange, and are fearing cancer. So I said, we really need a surgery here to go in and just check that out, catch it early, you know. But then she went to get checked out for the operation. They said, you know, your heart isn't strong enough for an operation. Her heart had been at 50% strength, and now it had gone down to 25% strength. And so she said, well, I'm a Christian. I know that if I die in surgery, Jesus will come and take me home. And the doctor said to her, well, you might not die. You might come out in a coma. So then the puzzling begins. The hard decision is there. I'm puzzled. I'm perplexed. This is just too hard for me to think about. And so she, of course, began to go to the Lord and to look to Him for an answer. And God gave her the answer. God didn't allow her to despair. And it gave her a scripture about, you know, I will strengthen your heart. So that was her answer. And she's going into surgery this coming Thursday and going ahead and trusting God with that. So let's pray for her. Her name's Joanne. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up Joanne Lang to You. Father, we pray that she goes into surgery on Thursday, that You, Lord, would strengthen her heart. And Lord, she would come through with flying colors and get rid of all those bad cells, Lord. And Father, just give her a new lease on life, a fresh resurrection to go forth with her ministry on the internet and in teaching the women there in Florida. And so we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the Lord does not allow us to come to despair, but he answers our questions and lets us know what to do next. Now, the next one says this, verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken. Of course, we know the Lord has said, and we have in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's also in the Old Testament. And so we're not forsaken or abandoned, is another translation, in the time of persecution. And all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But praise the Lord, we're never abandoned. We're never forsaken. The Lord is there with us in the persecution. And let's turn to a scripture on this. Keep your hand in 2 Corinthians 4 and turn to 1 Peter 4:14. 1 Peter 4:14. Here's where we see some of the glory of God mentioned that we did in the opening, that our suffering really is to the glory of God, and it brings actually a resting of his glory upon us. So it says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, this is 1 Peter 4:14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The very God of the universe rests upon you if you be reproached or persecuted for his name. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. He is glorified and lifted up and blessed with a big smile on his face in heaven. And that's why he wants us to know that we can be happy also. Happy are ye. Ye are happy. And you take that upon yourself in the faith of Christ and know it's because he's walking with you. He's right there with you. You are sharing in the suffering of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Well, let's go on back now to 2 Corinthians 4. And look at the last clause here in this first section of blessing of the suffering that we go through in Christ, in knowing that he's walking with us. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down or struck down, but not destroyed. Now, there's many ways you can be cast down or struck down. Through illness. And I think about our brother who's been in the hospital for four months. And he's been there laying on his back for 4 months, very weak, not able to eat. They have to bring him this brown juice and put it on a tube for him. And that is really, really hard. And you can imagine how hard that would be. And there's things in your life where you would feel struck down, cast down. But you know what? The Lord gives us wonderful promise about this in the book of Psalms. And so let's go over there to Psalm 37 to kind of add to this idea of cast down but not destroyed as the Lord speaks to us in Psalm 37, verse 23 and 4. So we go to Psalm 37. Verse 23 of Psalm 37, it says this, the steps of a good man, and that word for man is generic, it is speaking of mankind, so it would apply to both men and women. I think that would be obvious, but you know, it's good to mention that. The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way, though he fall. And that can happen one way or the other. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. the Lord actually reaches out his hand and holds you up so that you will not be taken down completely, destroyed. You will be brought back up by the hand of the Lord. And this is an incredible promise, isn't it? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord, Jesus Christ, upholds you with his hand. Now, I immediately think of Peter on this one, you know, as Peter came, was in the boat with the other disciples, and it was a stormy night, and Jesus came walking on the water, and the disciples thought he was a ghost, and they were afraid. And so Jesus spoke to them, and he said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." "Whoa, it's you?" And then so Peter piped up and said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. Let me get out of the boat with you and walk on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." So Peter put his foot, if you can imagine that, putting your foot over the side of the boat. Oh, man. And then you start walking on water. But then Peter noticed the waves and the wind, took his eyes off the Lord and put his eyes on the trouble, the waves and the wind, and he immediately began to sink. But what he did then, what did he do? He cried out and said, "Lord, save me." And what did Jesus do? He took him by the hand. Yes, cast down, but not destroyed. As Peter was sinking in the water, Jesus grabbed his hand. I love that song, that old song, "Put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee." And that's what we do, and that's what he does and is careful to do for us. Is that hand is out, that right hand of fellowship with him. He is always with us in this suffering. So again, the difference between being a non-believer that doesn't believe in Jesus or take Jesus' help. Man, it's a sad, sorry place. But oh, to be a Christian, to be believing in Jesus, and to accept that hand of God to help in the time of trouble. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. And so we thank God for this truth in the Word. Now let's go on to the second thing. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The second thing Paul wants us to know here, and the Lord wants to know us through Paul, about a Christian suffering and the blessing of it. Okay, number one again, that Jesus always is there with us as the deliverer. And then the second thing then, we'll look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 through 16. And just to let you know what we're going to be looking at, that any trouble that the walking Christian goes through is used by God to help others. Is used by God to help others. Just a quick example. If you're going through a hard time in your life and the folks around you are watching you, and people always watch Christians, knowing that they're a Christian to see if they're going to live the life, if there's some, is there something really to this? And as you receive the peace of God and obey the Word and bring your problem to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, and the Bible promises that the peace of God, which passes understanding, will settle down upon you and guard your heart, keep your heart, and somebody else sees that, that's going to help them. And you know what? They'll start to come to you when they're in trouble because they can see the stability in your life because of the excellent power of God, because we turn to him and he always helps and is there, as we read about not being forsaken or abandoned. And so that's just an example. Paul lets us know in verse 10 that he was always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, that folks can see the manifestation, the declaration of God's power in our body as we are actually dying daily. And Jesus put it this way for the Christian: if you want to come after me, you must, number one, deny yourself. going through a spiritual death over and over again in many ways in each day. I think of mothers right away. Mothers come to my mind, especially mothers with small children. It's tough. You love them to death, but it's hard before they go to school. And you know, I really don't understand how people can homeschool, but it's a good thing to homeschool. You know, I don't want to say it's a very wonderful thing, and God bless the moms that take that on. But I was really glad when the last one went to school, because then I had 10 minutes with my wife. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. So this is a death. You know, it's a life, but it's also a death. And of course, God asks us to go through many kinds of death. And we can just think about that, you know, when someone might call you and need you to listen to them for an hour and a half on the phone. And the potatoes are cooking. You got to be gone by 7 to an appointment or whatever. But the Lord says, you know, this person is really important to me. I want you to sacrifice here. I want you to go through a spiritual death. Now, none of us will ever be able to go or ask to go through the death that Jesus went through for us. He died on that cross, a gruesome death for us, that we might live. But he asks us to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And so Paul says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live, and he includes us now, see, we which live are always delivered to death through many different ways. For Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. Death in us, life in you. And so as we allow ourselves to crucify the flesh, to allow God to do that in our lives, and to go ahead and decide that I'm going to live the life of a Christian. Well, I remember one time, an example in the direct opposite of that, my car broke down, it was on fire and making great smoke, and I was in an alley, and no one could really see me down there in that alley. You know, I suppose the fire department would eventually see it, but this one guy drove by, and I thought he was going to stop and help me. And he just pointed at me and laughed and drove off. I'll never forget that. And I couldn't help laugh with him, really. But, you know, at the same time, you can tell this is a man that was comfortable with just living for himself. You know, I'm comfortable with this. Bye. You know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But, you know, you probably know folks like that. But the thing is that the Lord, who is our God, he's ready to help, right? And so he always fills you and I with the same spirit as we ask for his Holy Spirit to direct us. And we will suffer those times of, you know, I really don't want to do this right now, but you know, I feel like the Lord wants me to. And many times you'll just receive that joy. And sometimes it's hard a little bit, but then the joy comes because you understand and you realize that you're walking with Jesus Christ and you're doing that. It's another neat thing. I had another phone conversation this week with another sister that's unable to come to church. And she said this. She said, Mark, you have the most blessed church. These ladies, you should be proud of the women of your church. They come over here and help me, and I am so blessed and lifted up. I want to come back so bad, but I just want to tell you that. You have a blessed church. And of course, you know, she needed to know again that it's not my church, it's Jesus's church. And his love has permeated our church. I love the way our church loves. When my mom passed away, my brother was really concerned. He held the purse strings. Was at the power of attorney and had mom's money and was trying to distribute everything just right and do that. I was so glad that he had that responsibility. Anyway, he was you know, concerned about the funeral. He wanted to know how much it would cost and, you know, what about food for the people afterwards and so forth. And there was a sweet lady in our church that came up to me and said, you know, she just said, you know, do you want me to take care of the food? Yes. And so after the funeral, and what a spread we had, I mean, whoa, back in the fellowship hall, my brother was blown away with the love that was displayed there. And he said, Mark, I want you to be sure to thank every one of those ladies that did this. He was just so moved with that act of love. And I said, Owen, don't worry, I won't forget. And then when I got to them to thank them, he'd already been there thanking them, because he just didn't want to leave it to me completely, you know, and just was overcome with that. So what a blessing, what a witness we can be to one another. And it takes time. You have to give up some time for the Lord and go ahead. So the Apostle Paul, he had quite a list. And as we get to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, we'll get to that, not today. We don't have time today. But there is a list of things that he suffered so that he could be that witness to the Corinthian church and the other churches he founded. He went through a lot. And he also has another list in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. But you know, I like what David said, King David. He said, I will not offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does not cost me anything. David was about ready to sacrifice. He needed a place to do that. He needed the bulls and the sheep to do that. And a guy named Arurah said, David, I will pay for all of it. You can have my threshing floor free, and I will provide the animals to sacrifice to the Lord. And David then said this, I'm going to pay for everything, because I will not offer anything to God that doesn't cost me something. And that cost is the death that we're asked to go through, always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, death to self, and to go on and to minister. And that's where the heart of God is. That's what Jesus did. He went around doing good works, the scripture tells us. So then, you see, death works in us, but oh, the life that it brings to others that are blown away with what you've just done for them in the name of the Lord. That just lifts a person to a place where they can say, God is good, and they glorify the Father who is in heaven. So that's the way it works, and that's what Paul was about. Now, what got Paul mostly in trouble was his preaching. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. We, having then the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, and now Paul quotes Psalm 116, verse 10, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Oh, that's what got him in trouble. He's a believer, and he spoke out. And then he includes us in this. He says, we also believe. We believe together, and therefore we speak. The Bible says, open your mouth and I will fill it. The Lord says that. And we are to go teaching, preaching the gospel to all the nations. And that's our call. That's the Great Commission. And so Paul says, you know, I believe in the Lord, so I'm going to speak. And we believe together, so we need to speak for the Lord. Be used of God. And so that is what got him in trouble. But in verse 14, he says, knowing this, you got to keep this in mind, when you feel the death of actually communicating with someone else about the Lord, especially when you know you might get in trouble for it, or get rejected for it, and be tempted to say, I can't take that kind of rejection, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut, like Jeremiah did. Jeremiah got so tired of being persecuted. He ended up in a dungeon with mud up to his knees. He said at one point, I've decided I'm not going to speak about God anymore. Finished. I'm done. And then he says, but his word burned in me so that I couldn't keep quiet. And you know, as we know the Lord and walk with him through the years, you just can't keep quiet. You'll find yourself saying something about the Lord. And God will bless that. And God will purify that. And he will bring life to others. Death in you, life to others. So we should know this. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. If you're killed for talking about Jesus, God's going to raise you up. And of course, Paul was in threat of death continually. And there's many missionaries today that are in threat of death continually. But even if that happens, even if it goes that far, Jesus is going to raise us up. And that is a great blessing. So this is what he's saying to those in Corinth. So therefore, we should open our mouths and speak in the name of the Lord. That is so true and so good. Now, let's go on and look at the next two verses, or the next, two verses, 15, 16. It says, for all things are for your sake. Paul's saying, this is for you. And I will go through this death for you. Death in us, life in you. It's for your sake. All things is for your benefit. I love you, is what he's saying. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, and here we have it again, where? To the glory of God. To the glory of God. People thanking God that Paul came to speak to them and to hear the gospel and to hear something about the Lord. They're so thankful, and they're blessing the Lord and giving him the glory because they know that's where it goes. For which cause we faint not, Paul says, verse 16. We don't faint for this cause, that all this thanksgiving is going up and people are blessed and finding life because of the death that I've decided on in the Lord. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What a promise. What a promise. We're renewed, and many, many times we're renewed because of the blessing we see in others, because of what we have allowed God to do through us in deciding to die or to sacrifice, deciding to do that phone call, deciding to make that visit, deciding to put aside my life for a while, for my children, for my grandchildren, for those that need me. And man, the blessing is tremendous. We're renewed, even though our outward man is perishing. You know, another translation on that, I believe it's NIV, it says, though the outward man is wasting away. And I thought, man, that that's a good one. You know, wasting away. You know, we get older. Yep, things start wearing out. But the thing is, the inward man is renewed every single day as we're walking with the Lord. There's this renewal, this lifting. I was talking to Jim Gautier in the hospital. He's the guy that's been in there for 4 months. And you know, he feels so sorry for him. I can't imagine being in a hospital for 4 months. I mean, when I was 17, I had an operation at UCLA, so my friends couldn't really get to me because I was so far away. And I remember crying. I was so lonely, and it was only a week. But imagine, what a baby, huh? But imagine, I was only 17, now I'm a man, you know? But imagine being on your back for 4 months. But it was really neat, because to share this verse was such a blessing, to see the light of the Lord in Jim. Because this verse of the inward man is renewed day by day. And he lit up. His eyes got big. He was moving his hands and he was rejoicing, because he knows that's true. The only help we have is Jesus. And if Jesus wasn't with him in that bed for 4 months, and now to the point where he couldn't eat anymore, man, what else you got? Nothing. And so the Lord is there and was lifting him up, and he was in agreement that he received that blessing, that renewal that only God can bring day by day. And when God does something like that, I mean, the rejoicing is intense. And it is wonderful to recognize and to realize that God is with you. God is blessing, because he understands the problem and he wants to use each one of us in a marvelous way. So, now let's go on to the third thought, the third and final thought. Number one, God is with us in our trouble, whatever it is. Number two, it's going to help somebody. Yeah, because it's always, that word always is there, always bearing about in the body of the dying Lord Jesus, that the life might be made manifest, brought forth. And, of course, all things working together for good. And so we put those alls together, always, all. That means God's going to do something good with everything. And so now let's look at verses 17 and 18. And the last point we want to make today is this, is that any trouble we have is minute. It's minute. Any trouble you go through is minute compared to the glory that will be revealed in you in heaven. It's minute. For our light affliction, verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Pastor Bill mentions a lot, and he mentioned again today, wow, it's already the first Sunday in March. Time gets by so quick. And it's really true that the older you get, the faster time gets by. I really think for Bill, it's probably because he works so hard. He's just such a great worker here at the church that the clock just goes by. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're just temporary. Whatever you're going through is temporary. It's just going to pass. This too shall pass. It hasn't come to stay. It's come to pass. And so it's temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. And so one day we're going to see the reality of this verse when we get to heaven. Now I wanted to give you the Greek on some of these words to kind of make the comparison how it is in the eyes of God. For it says our light affliction. This Greek word light can be also said to be a weightless trifle. So you can think of the worst thing you've ever been through, the hardest thing you've ever been through. God is letting us know that it is a weightless trifle. Now, that doesn't feel good while you're going through it. I mean, if you walk up to somebody and say, man, this is I'm in trouble. It's so big. This, right, that. And the guy goes, well, the Bible says that that's a weightless trifle. You'll probably be a little ticked with that. But the thing is, when you get to heaven, you'll agree. It's a weightless trifle. Okay, and then affliction, the Greek word means, refers to the intense pressure from a human perspective. Yes, we can have intense pressure, but if we take it to God in the prayer, the peace that passes understanding takes away the intense pressure. He, with his ministry to us, brings us this supernatural, passing the understanding of the situation, peace. And so then it begins to, and you begin to understand a little more that God's word is true and good, that it is a weightless trifle with the Lord. So we go on. And now the Greek word for weight, as we read our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Greek word here for weight actually refers to a very heavy mass, a very heavy mass. So we're comparing a weightless trifle to a heavy mass. My problem is the weightless trifle, and God's glory is a very heavy mass that we will be engulfed with for eternity. And so we don't want to look on the temporal things, but have a bigger picture looking forward to the eternal that we can't see. So that's the message from God and from the Apostle Paul for us. Wanted to speak to us about troubles and distresses, letting us know, number one, the non-believer, you see, just a trouble is just trouble. But for us, is a chance for God to rest his glory and honor upon us, his glory and his spirit upon us. and to be walking with us. And then also, this next thing is to bring others closer to Himself as we identify with them in suffering and they see how we handle it, and also to give up time and effort for others to be closer to Jesus. And the third thing again is to always remember, this isn't it. We've only just begun. There's a song that God has given Sherry. It's just so precious. It's called Nani, and it's spelled just like what she's called by the grandkids, Nani, N-O-N-N-Y. And it's a song that she found on the internet almost by accident. I guess it was like accident. And it just ministered to her so heavily. In this song, it talks about the coming of the Lord. And the one line at the end is so, so great. It says that when we see our Creator face to face, then we really begin. It talks about biographies in this song, but at the end it says, when we see Him face to face, then that's where we're really going to begin. Oh yeah. And then this, all of this world situation and the school we've been in and the troubles we've seen, you see, are then recognized for what they are, and that is momentary, weightless trifles. What a blessing, huh? And so God wants you to know these things, brothers and sisters. He wants you to know. So let's pray together, and then we'll sing. Let's pray. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for these Bible truths. Lord, it's always good to get your perspective. And, Lord, we know that that's why you gave us the Word. The perspective of the world, the perspective of the flesh, always gets us in trouble and depression, despair, all of those bad things. And so, Lord, we thank you for your perspective again and again. So, Lord, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters and myself that you would help us to remember and know, Lord, that these things are going to come to pass, not to stay. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the church triumphant. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with each one of our members that are in trouble right now. And Father, as we are asked to die daily, Lord, that we would do it with great blessing in our hearts because you renew us in the inner man day by day. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer today, the prayer room's open. May the Lord bless you. Just have a great day in Him, knowing that He is renewing you day by day. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.